The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Brought to you by Standard Life. Retirement specialists getting you ready for your second life.
Donal Fallon is with me. He is the presenter of Three Castles Burning History podcast, just written the book, The Dublin Pub, A Social and Cultural History, which turned out to be a much more dangerous and fraught topic than he had imagined. Before we get into it, give me that Wolfe Tone quote that you gave me from his diary.
Wolfe Tone's diaries, marvellous for anyone who's not read them. They're actually online now. You can read them in full. November 18th, 1792. Huzzah. Drink like a fish till past 12. God bless everybody. October 3rd, 1792.
Entire day. That's what he achieved that day.
Dinner and a great deal of wine. Frivolous day, generally drunk.
Fair play to Wolfe Tone. So why was this so contentious? Because you would have thought, it's just a nice history of pubs.
Yeah, writing a history about pubs is when I said it to the wife, I was doing this, I could see her go, oh no. You know, I was thinking maybe from Patter O'Donnell's up in Derry, all the way down to the great pubs of Dingle. But I put a bit of focus on it and I said, let's keep it to Dublin. So a social and cultural history of Dublin pubs. Back in February 2020, on the eve of the pandemic, a good friend of mine, Tommy Smith, died. He was the co-proprietor of Grogan's Pub on St. William Street. Tommy was a lot of things. He was a publican, he was a republican, a champion of the arts. I love when you walk into Grogan's and you see those stained glass windows that he commissioned, the day people, the night people. But it became clear to me there was a lot of folklore, a lot of mythology, and a lot of history around pubs. And people are passionate about pubs. People have their favourites. They'll defend them to the hilt. So I embarked on this mad journey, and it brings us right across the city, really from a time before pubs, from drinking with Wolfe Tone in the 1790s to very modern bars and what they mean.
High points for you.
Oh, for me, like pubs I'd not been to before. The Wren's Nest out in the Strawberry Beds. Beautiful place. Absolutely stunning place. I knew it from the front of an LP at home with the Dubliners. When you walk in, it hasn't changed a bit. And it's
also the lime-washed walls and fireplaces.
Ah, it's gorgeous.
If I remember,
it's gorgeous. Like a little cottage, isn't it? The old Royal Oak down in Kilmainham Lane. Again, it feels like a country pub in the city. Places like that. And then the things that are in pubs that you might be in all the time, but you don't see. So the Flowing Tide. You have these stunning stained glass windows by Tony Inglis. He's actually nominated for an Academy Award for art direction. And he does these beautiful stained glass windows with things like the Custom House, Nelson's Pillar, and the theatre, because it's right across the road from the Abbey. So there's all kinds of wonderful artworks hiding in plain sight, things that are on the walls, you know, memorials to former customers, proprietors, barmen, all that kind of stuff.
What then about the basic requirements to be a perfect pub? Does it have to have a snug?
Yeah, what is a pub, right? Well, that's a good question. What is a pub? So I would argue the pub as we know it is a real Victorian invention. When we have Wolfe Tone's diaries there from falling around the place in the 1790s, there really was no regulation in the late Georgian period on what a pub was. The Victorians get kind of serious about it. So we see an industry that we'd recognise today, licensing laws, very, very important. You know, when can you open a pub, when you have to close a pub? The partitions, the mirrors, beautiful advertising mirrors. If you go into the Palace on Fleet Street, DWD and these kind of whiskey distilleries that are just a memory in Dublin, you'll see them there in their original form. So the appearance of a pub and the legislation of a pub really is a 19th century phenomenon. The snug is a fascinating thing. Because they were ripped out at one point. They were out of fashion in the 1970s. There was a time, in the 1870s, you wanted privacy in a pub. You wanted to be able to go in, a spirit grocer, whatever it might be, have a few quiet drinks in private and leave.
I had the snug associated in my head with gender separation in some way. Is that wrong?
In some places that was true, yeah. And there were certain pubs where you also had a grocer's element to it. So women would be in doing the family shop, if you will, and drinking on the premises as well. I think as well as women, there were other people who didn't want to be seen in the public house. Be it priests, be it the local politician, whatever it might be. There are all kinds of people who wanted the privacy of the snug. A really good example of that, Keogh's in Dublin, where you have two entrances from the street, one into the bar, one into the snug. But in the 1970s, what was in fashion was the big open pub. You know, the big glass windows. Now you wanted everyone to know you were on the premises. So that had shifted. But snugs are coming back. I mean, we're seeing the re-emergence of snugs. So we have kind of fake old pubs starting to emerge. And even the Irish pub can be bought now and exported. There are people who sell, basically, you know, the ready-made
entire
Irish
pubs
complete with snugs. So everything was
and
back
bicycle
into fashion.
For the wall and all that crap.
Yeah.
What about important patrons? Who in your book stood out for you as some of the more significant of the people who attend the pubs?
Yeah, I mean, another inspiration for the book was that December is fast approaching, is the centenary of the birth of Con Hoolihan. What an extraordinary man he was. No one who met Con will ever forget him. The Castle Island Colossus, as he was known. To me, very proud St. Patrick's athletic man, so he was beloved in Inchicore. He said that the good people of Inchicore have followed the saints through tin and tinner. But while Con was primarily a sports writer, He wrote really beautifully about pubs, and you'll find a monument to him in Mulligan's, which was unveiled in his own lifetime. There's a kind of secular shrine to Conhoolan. And John B. Keane said something to the effect of, "We played rugby against each other and drank pints together. We were good at one and excelled at the other." A plaque at the palace, outside in the ground of the palace, there's Miles Na Gach Bliain, Patrick Kavanagh, Brendan Behan and Conhoolan. He was alive at the time those plaques were unveiled. So it's a certain kind of legendary figure who's commemorating the pubs in their own lifetime. But everyone can recite some of those Conhoolan match reports. Remember, he described Paddy Cullen running back to the goal like a woman who smelt a cake burning in the oven.
You mentioned in Inchicore, one of my favourite stories that I got told, I was talking to a man who used to be a barman years ago in the Black Lion in Inchicore.
Yes.
And he said that on Saturdays they worked half time in the railway depot. And he said that when the whistle would go to signal the end of work, the guys in the Black Lion would start pulling pints and stacking them on the bar. And he said they would all come down on the bicycles from Inchicore and walk into a bar full of pints there waiting for them. The book, if you want to read more, it is entitled The Dublin Pub, A Social and Cultural History. The author is Donal Fallon. And of course, you can hear more of Donal on the Three Castles Burning History podcast.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.